And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. We're going to have a great show tonight. I'm excited about it. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck, Kilauea Paint and Feed, and we'll hear from them.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, premium pet food, and organic livestock feed, propane exchange and filling, too, located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1, locally owned Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Okay, so in the studio with me, I have right now four really good people here who are doing something called the International Peace Day. We might have a couple more people coming in, and we have some scheduled callers. So you are going to be hearing many, many different viewpoints on a lot of elements, because peace covers almost every single aspect of our lives. We all want peace. And that can be anywhere from the personal to politics to from the pier to anywhere in the Mideast, whatever can be happening. I want to begin the show in this moment to cover a few elements outside of that. Last week, we talked about the challenges that was happening at Hanalei School, and I want to acknowledge that Superintendent Bill Arakaki, he really did listen. He was on the show. He was listening to the show. We heard a lot of heart-wrenching elements of what people in the community felt about maybe where the principal wasn't able to handle their needs well. And I will say that Superintendent Arakaki did rectify that situation. At least, you know, it's a first step in placing the principal in a position that might be better suited for her temperament at this time. So that was something that changed and moved forward. That's from people power really speaking up. So KKCR is happy when you have a need or an issue to bring it up, to be able to give it some attention and help it to become a little bit more broadly understood. On that point, KKCR is having a fun drive from October 5th to the 15th. And try and remember that that's what really this station is about, is representing all of us. So tonight also, there's two meetings that I'm aware of that are coming up at 6 o'clock. So I'm trying to make sure that you have preparations to go. In Anahola at the clubhouse at 6 o'clock. I believe that is at the Anahola Farmers Meetings. Dan Ahuna, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, will be there speaking and listening to people. Many people are looking at how OHA, Office of Hawaiian Affairs, can do a more comprehensive job of actually really representing the needs of the Hawaiian people. Also at Hanalei School at 6 o'clock tonight, there is a discussion about the bridges in Wainiha. We have those two double one-lane bridges. That is going to have an alternative built for it. So there's a number of discussions. If you care about the road out there in Haena, in Wainiha, night, 6 o'clock. So there are a number of other things coming up next Tuesday. We have, in the same night, we have two different events. One is the Center for Food Safety at 6 o'clock. They are speaking. They'll probably come on the air here. They have two nights. I don't actually, have that one right up in front of me. And then also we have next Tuesday, the continuing story on the environment at the Niumalu Canoe Club, 6 to 8 p.m. It's a panel discussion this time from Blue Planet Foundation. Then Joe Boivin from Hawaii Gas, Mina Marita from the Energy Blogger, who's been our representative, and Brad Rockwell from KIUC. That sounds like a really great conversation as well. Tomorrow, before the community, the county council, is a $15 an hour resolution for minimum wage. So that's going on at 1:30. So if you have an opinion on that, you can send it to counciltestimonies@kauai.gov, or you can show up down there at the old county council building. So those are a number of things that are coming up. And
Felicia?
Yes?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. That was yesterday. Thank you, Hay, and thank you, everybody, for all the love that I got. So that was really nice. All right. Now, our guests. Let me see, make sure they're mic'd up okay. Jeffrey Paris?
Yes, hello, Felicia.
Hello. And then I've got Jim Jung.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi. Analia Atkinson.
Hi, Felicia.
And Sharon West.
Aloha, Felicia, and hello to your listeners.
Yay. So we are going to be learning about this International Day of Peace, or is it Peace Day? What are you calling it?
It's actually the International Day of Peace.
International Day of Peace. Jeffrey, do you want to start and tell us a little bit about it, and then anything that comes to your mind of what you're wanting to share with the listeners?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, this Sunday, September 20th, we're celebrating, and when I say we, it's the Interfaith Roundtable of Kauai, is celebrating the International Day of Peace. Now, this is a United Nations initiative. It comes around each year, actually on the 21st of September. And we're celebrating on Sunday in order to
have it be a convenient day.
Exactly.
And it's Lydgate Park, is that right?
Lydgate Park, Main Pavilion, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
I'm planning to go.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, and a number of the restaurants are supporting this, and the chefs are cooking up some nice food to provide to folks. So there's going to be free food. There's going to be crafts for the keiki. There's going to be live entertainment. And there's also going to be some ambassadors of peace talking about peace from both the past, the present, and the future.
And there is good music playing as well, yes?
Yes, yes. There will be some beautiful music by Michael and Carrie Fox,
mm-hmm.
Playing guitar and singing. They sing like angels.
I actually did a little research and listened today, and yes, very, very nice.
And we're also pleased to have Joyful Noise, the taiko drumming group, come out and kick off the event.
Okay, so are all of you speaking at the engagement?
No, there are other speakers, however, and I think Jeffrey's got that rundown.
Okay, who are your speakers?
Why don't I have Jim talk about that, because Jim's going to be emceeing the event.
Oh, okay.
Jim Jung.
And Jim, Ian is your kid, right?
That's right. He's one of my four children.
And he was at the county as an attorney, and you're an attorney too.
Yes, I retired about 15 years ago.
Okay. So you've done lots of different things. So I'll let you speak about what's coming on, and I just, for people who might know you, kind of calling your attention to it.
Okay, thanks. We plan to use three phases, and the first phase would be the past, learning from our mistakes. And we have Dennis Fujimoto to interview Jiro Yukimura and Norman Hashisaki about their experiences in the war. They've been featured recently in the Garden Island newspaper about their experiences and their messages. We should learn from our past mistakes. Then the second group will be the present, and that'll be small breakout groups to talk about their concerns and suggestions for bringing about world peace. And the third will be our children, or our future peace. We want our children to learn about these and become instilled in a desire to seek world peace.
And who's going to be speaking on behalf of the children?
The children.
Okay. Any names?
I have no idea right now.
Okay.
Whoever comes. Somebody else is in charge of bringing them in. Okay. But today I'd like to share a story about an inspirational young lady, something that occurred to her at 70 years ago. May I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The story I'm about to share is a true story. Many of you are familiar with the story. However, it needs to be retold over and over again. It's a story of war and peace. It's a story of devastation and annihilation. It happened 70 years ago. We begin with the sounds of aircraft in the distance. Boom! My God! What have we done? Those were the words of the co-pilot as his aircraft circled to inspect the target of his bombing mission. The date was August 6, 1945. The place was Hiroshima. The aircraft was a B-29 called the Enola Gay. The death toll, 125,000 persons that day. 3 days later, another bomb killed 70,000 persons in Nagasaki. Thus begins a true story that will inspire our future leaders, our children, to want world peace, to work for world peace, to achieve world peace. This is the story of Sadako and the 1,000 paper cranes. On January 7, 1943, a healthy baby girl was born in Hiroshima, Japan. On August 6, 1945, 2 years later, an atom bomb was dropped near her home. The little girl's name is Sadako Sasaki. Her father was a barber, and in normal times, they would be a middle-class family, but Japan was at war. Most men were in the military. Instead of producing food and goods, everything was scarce. Sadako survived the bombing, but was caught in the black rain that followed. Sadako was athletic, the fastest runner on her school track team. She was a happy and popular preteen girl. About 9 years later, Sadako was diagnosed with leukemia and given a year to live. Other children also contracted this disease caused by radiation exposure. While hospitalized, a young roommate told Sadako a Japanese legend that anyone folding 1,000 paper cranes, that's origami, would be granted a wish. Her roommate taught Sadako how to fold the paper cranes. And Sadako scrounged all the paper she could get and began folding cranes from wrappers and scrap paper. And her brother fastened thread to them and hung them from the ceiling of her hospital room. Her room became very, very special. Unfortunately, Sadako became too weak to fold and fell short, only creating 644 before her death. Sadako's last wish was to have green tea and rice because it was tasty. On October 25, 1955, at age 12, with her family present surrounding her in her hospital room, Sadako closed her eyes, never to open them again. Her friends completed the 1,000 paper cranes and buried them with her. After her death, Sadako's friends and schoolmates published a collection of her letters to raise funds to build a memorial to her and all the other children who died from the atomic bomb disease. The publication was called Kokeshi, named after a doll that was given to her in the hospital. In 1958, the Children's Peace Memorial was created in Sadako's memory in Hiroshima. It's a big bronze statue, almost 30 feet high, of a happy young girl with pigtails, with her arms upstretched, holding a giant golden crane. at the base of the statute are the words, "This is our cry, this is our prayer, peace in the world." There's also a statue of Sadako in Seattle Peace Park. Sadako has become a leading symbol of the impact of nuclear war. Books, movies, photographs, exhibits, and a musical were created in her to tell her story. Although Sadako could not save her own life with 1,000 paper cranes, her story may save millions. Let the children of the world hear Sadako's story and bring peace to the world. In that park in Hiroshima, there's also a monument called the Atomic Atom Bomb Dome. Inside that dome is a stone coffin. And inside that coffin is a list of the names of folks who died from the bombing. Each year, more folks die from the effects of the bombing, from the radiation poisoning. On August 6th of each year, more names are added to the list. And carved on the monument are the words, "Rest in peace, for the mistake shall not be repeated." Each year, children from all over the world send paper cranes to Hiroshima to hang beneath Sadako's statue. What happened over 70 years ago must never happen again. I met Sadako's brother, Masahiro Sasaki, when he came to Kauai briefly, and I promised him I would learn how to make paper cranes, and I made about 300 of them, which I'll distribute on Sunday, and I promised him that I would tell his sister's story at every opportunity, and this is one, and thank you for providing this opportunity.
You're welcome. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. That was Jim Jung sharing a story that is part of the inception for the International Day of Peace. And Jim, you know, this is probably close to you in many different ways because you're involved with the Veterans Administration. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so did you serve in the military?
Yes, I was in the Coast Guard. I joined at 17, and I served 8 years in the reserves and received an honorable discharge. You know, although the military taught me how to clean and shoot a rifle, they told me to go out and save lives, not take them.
Well, the Coast Guard here in Hawaii especially does an awful lot of good. I think that, that's one of those where I think you go to work in the morning and you come home and you know that maybe you did save lives even now, you know, on a regular basis in ships and different things that are out there. So you work with the Veterans Administration?
No, I'm with the Hospice Partnership with the Veterans Administration, and we have a program called Veterans Honoring Veterans, where we'll go out to the homes of veterans to remind them that they're not forgotten, that their service has been appreciated. We present them with a certificate and a pin. And I get it started off with Reveille to wake everybody up and then play the song of their branch of the service.
Wonderful. And Marshall, did you have a call?
Yes. A listener wanted to mention that you look great for 39 and happy birthday. And he also wanted to just interject that not to negate the horrors of nuclear war, but the caller wanted to make the point that war does go both ways and that Japan bombed us as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, caller, for sharing.
You know, I'd like to just say, if I may, this is Jeffrey, that yes, there is a lot of conflict in this world. And it is a tragedy, and it hurts our hearts as we see the war, we see the devastation, we see the thousands and thousands of refugees. You know, peace building is something that we can all be active in. It's something that we can do individually as well as in groups. And I see it occurring on this island already. We see it like over at the YWCA, with regards to addressing domestic and sexual violence. We see the schools teaching peace awareness respect and anti-bullying programs, like through the Aloha Peace Project, the Pillars of Peace Hawaii Project, teaching young adults about ethical leadership, environmental issues, and human rights activism. And I will say a lot of these conflicts worldwide are trampling on human rights. And so it is a fact that, yes, besides, you know, there are political powers, as we know, that are pushing the buttons, that are sending our troops into harm's way. And, you know, I personally served in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and I recently joined the Marine Corps League, and I was very proud to serve. And luckily, I did not have to serve in wartime. But I will say that I served in the Marines as a peacekeeper, as one who will protect and serve our country, as opposed to one who goes out to take lives without thought. I will also say, if I may, that peace awareness and peace-affirming dialogue, these are real actions that we can take as individuals to help build a culture of peace. For instance, practicing forgiveness, compassion, random acts of kindness, and volunteering can bring peace to your mind and your heart and the minds and hearts of others. And participating in groups who are affirming peace through dialogue, through proven ways like peer mediation, appreciative inquiry, nonviolent communication, and other ways. These are proven methods that we can all practice. John Keble, he wrote, "Peace is the first thing the angels sang." And as a chaplain involved in interfaith work, I work with people of individual denominations and diverse faith traditions, and at times it can be challenging understanding how to best serve when there are so many different opinions, there's languages, different cultural practices among different groups, or even among family members within the Johannes. But I found that through understanding, through sensitivity, and through humility, it goes a long way towards finding common ground and mutual healing and reconciliation when needed. So, one of the concepts of reconciliation or affirmative inquiry is the commonality that's common to each of us. For instance, we all want peace of heart and mind and a physical environment free from conflict, free from discrimination, and free from suppression. We all want healthy food, clean water, affordable housing, mental health, economic opportunities, social justice. We want dignified care for our elders. We want quality education for our children, cultural expression, and certainly enjoyment of the arts and religious freedom. And I believe we have that here on this island most of the time. But periodically, we do see conflict on the island. We see conflicts recently at the Hanalei Pier a few months ago with the altercation between some young junior high students. We see religious defamation or desecration, should I say, of religious icons, the recent one of Jesus, and also many years ago of the Kuan Yin statue down on Hanapepe.
And even yesterday, the Ahu up at the top of Mauna Kea, that the cultural practitioners and protectors of the mountain, somebody bulldozed their stone Ahu where they have been doing their services right up there at the top of the mountain.
Oh,
that was yesterday.
So yes, it does pain my heart, as it does all of us. All right, and so, you know, we look for ways to, first of all, to understand why these things are going on, and to open dialogue, to enter into discussion amongst the perpetrators, amongst the communities. And I believe that many of our religious and spiritual leaders have a responsibility as they minister to their congregations, as they minister to the communities, to take a stand, to speak out, to embody peace, and to demand peace in these types of conflicts.
So the Interfaith Roundtable of Kauai, which faiths does that have?
It's comprised of over 15 different faith groups, including Buddhism, Catholicism, Protestant Christianity, Taoist. We have spiritual educational groups, Brahma Kumaris. We have the Hindu denomination there, the Sikh. We have Sikh there. We have Islam, Muslim faith represented, children of the rainbow.
Children of the Rainbow. Fellowship of the Inner Light.
Fellowship of the Inner Light.
We have a group called The Gathering, which happens to be one that I host. My background is, as I started off in the Presbyterian Church, this is Sharon West speaking, but I moved from there as a musician. So as a musician, you often go to many different churches and you don't know, you know, you're there to offer music, but I started my first solo job in Christian Science Church. And so we have, the reason I mention that now is because now The Gathering is a group made of people of all faiths. We gather and we talk on spiritual issues. So there's really no denomination involved with that one.
Wonderful.
So it's really open to different faiths, all different faiths. I've failed to mention the Jewish community also attends as part of our program.
Ekinkar
also. So it's really
Jane Thompson's church is the
UCC.
Yes, yeah. UCC.
United Church of Christ. Marshall, did we have a caller?
We did. We had a caller who wanted to interject that a key part of making peace or finding peace is resolving the conflicts within yourself. And that when you find inner peace, it makes it easier to make peace with others.
May I say amen to that?
Yeah, amen. And we have another person joining us. We'll hear from him a little bit later. But Moses Hamilton just came in to the studio. And he is, when it's his turn, he'll be able to speak a little bit on inner peace. And because he's a rock star in our community. Many of you know him down there, Ching Young, who makes all these beautiful paintings. And he does that without the use of his hands. And so we're, you know, really, really just in awe of the kind of mastery that we can do. So it's great that there's a lot of different types of faiths that are coming there. You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. I have a number of people in the studio right now. This is Felicia on Kauai's Soapbox. And we are speaking to what's going on in the International Day of Peace. And so, Sharon,
yeah.
if people come on Sunday, what is what they might be expecting to experience?
Well, first of all, they're going to be really happy with the diversity that will be represented there. People from every background, every cultural group that exists on this island, I know will be drawn to this event. In fact, they have been to other events that the IROK has sponsored through the year. We have a recognition of the Martin Luther King Day. We have the International Day of Prayer. We have the International Day of Peace that's coming up. And then we do other events, and you'd be amazed. at the number of kinds of ideas that come forth in our discussions, that we will have opportunity to break into small groups and talk about peace, and we'll get everybody's idea, and that's what's so fascinating to me.
So it sounds like everybody's going to be welcome this Sunday.
Absolutely,
at 3 o'clock at Lydgate Main Pavilion. And I saw that not only are you folks doing what you're doing, but there's also some stuff going on at the Episcopal Church in Kilauea at the same time, and I believe there's one other location. Marshall?
Felicia, we had a caller who would like to pose a question. He'd like to find out more about mediation in the school systems.
That
okay.
would be me.
All right. This is Analia. Am I saying it right? Analia Atkinson?
Yes, Analia Atkinson. That's a joy of mine. In fact, Jesse Vasquez of KEO, Kauai Economic Opportunity, and I had the pleasure Friday of going to Waimea High School and teaching 15 kids how to mediate for peer mediation. And there's a great story that happens there. Last year, after homecoming, there had been some difficulty, some conflict. The administration got involved. They couldn't resolve it. Counselors got involved. They couldn't do it. But Brianna Akama is the person in charge. She's the liaison of this group. She's a counselor, and she got some peer mediators to do it, and they resolved the issue. Because kids know kids, and kids listen to kids. They trust them a little bit. So we're very excited to go in there, and there's been a long-standing group at Kapa High School for years. Then we're still trying to get into Kauai High School. Chiefs, at the very, very end of the year last year, we came in and spoke to their Senate. And we're reaching out to Kapa Middle School this year. But our goal would be to be in all of the middle schools and all of the high schools. I had the opportunity of being the teen court manager. Mm. And the first, and I really believe in this because I was a trained mediator. I've been mediating since 1998 before I moved to this island. And I do, maybe people don't know this, but if you go to small claims court, you're going to go to a mediator before you go before the judge. Because mediators have a better than probably a 70% chance of resolving an issue. There are some people who aren't going to move, and sometimes that costs them, you know. But anyway, people actually learn so much from the process. And I wanted kids to do this. I believe that if there was a group of kids that could be in there for their peers, that there would be less harassment, less assault, and terroristic threatening. Those are the big violent ones that we deal with in teen court. Of course, it's assault in the third degree, not second. There can be no bones broken or anything like that.
Third degree means words?
Third degree is less. Actually, it means that the child has felt pain, but there's no broken bones, no gouged eyeballs, or the body is intact.
Okay.
In fact, I had one kid come for a teen court, and then it turned out that he had just slammed a kid's face down in a water fountain, and the kid broke a tooth. And so then that couldn't, you know, he ended up losing a tooth, so he couldn't use it. But so I was right. We went into the schools, and not everybody accepted peer mediation. But of the schools that did learn peer mediation and were using it, there was a 40% less. 40% less is a very significant number of referrals for any kind of these violent crimes, the terroristic threatening, the harassment, or the assault. So that, to me, is like, okay, that's the green flag.
That's a green flag, and that's what, you know, we really want to see at all levels of it. I know this International Day of Peace is shared, and what you're explaining, this is an annual event, you know, across the globe. We have a caller on the air from, I believe he's in Colorado. Caller, are you there? Jacob?
This is Jacob, yes. Hi, am I on the air?
You are on the air. Hi, Jacob.
Well, Felicia, thank you so much for having me. Much love, aloha to everybody there on Kauai. I'm actually calling you from Prescott, Arizona, which I think you had lived
high school. Yep, I graduated from Prescott High.
Well, to put it in context, I'm walking down Whiskey Row right now.
All right, yeah, beautiful place.
Yes, with the lovely Angela Starr, who was born in Moloa'a. From DJ and Steve Starr,
yes.
who are live there on the island right now.
And they had Ruby Tuesdays. And, yep.
Yes, exactly. So, thanks so much for having me. I'd love to give a shout-out to all my friends that I love and miss so much, Davey and Jeff and Chie and Rachel and so many wonderful people. I will be back before too long.
Okay, and what's going on in the world with this?
Okay, so... this weekend, we're calling it World Peace Weekend. And it's because the International Day of Peace is actually on Monday. And so my organization that I work with and help to co-found is called Unify, unify.org. And kind of our mission is to create non-divisive ways that people can come together, so that you might have people that maybe sit on the opposite aisle politically, or maybe even come from different religions, or whatever it might be. Our job is to kind of find the place that is mutually agreeable between multiple parties. So, of course, we do in the springtime, we do one for World Water Day, because we all drink water, and that should be something we can agree on. And in September, we do the International Day of Peace. So this year, one of the things that we do is we use the wonderful internet technology to create globally synchronized moments of meditation. And so there's a... I think they call it the Maharishi effect. And the idea is that when you get enough people in one place meditating and holding a kind of a vibration for peace, that it actually lowers crime. They've done tests in cities. And so our idea, we call it subtle activism, is to get hundreds of people in hundreds of places around the world. So the first year we did it, 3 years ago, we had about 300 cities, 300 locations, and this year we're expecting to have over 1,000 locations all over the planet at the exact same time. So World Peace Weekend is Saturday, starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time, which for you guys in Kauai would be 1 p.m. They are showing a world premiere of a peace film, which you can view that online at upliftconnect.com. Then at 5 p.m. all over the world, which is 12 GMT, 5 p.m. Pacific, which would be 2 p.m. Hawaii, there is a globally synchronized meditation. And we're expecting to have probably over 100,000 people in over 1,500 locations, all quieting their minds and focusing on raising the vibration for peace on the planet.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah. Sunday is a wave of peace. So there's events being planned all over the world, starting at noon in your own local time zone, wherever you are. And that is the wave of peace that goes around the world. And the idea is inner peace to world peace, and that world peace has to start within. And so on Monday, into the world. So Saturday is inner peace, Sunday is the community celebration, and Monday is
forgiveness.
Enacting peace in the world around you, with the people around you. So, and we have an interactive map at unify.org, unify.org, and you can go on the map. I know there's already the event is there for Kauai. You can go on the map wherever you are in the world and see what events are being planned. If there's nothing being planned, then you can click to register your own event. And I checked this morning. I think we're up to around 500 events, but we have a group of volunteers that are entering events pretty much all day long. So we're trying to keep up with all the, you know, the people everywhere that are trying to get their.
Thank you for sharing all of that. And we wish you a lot of luck in what you're doing. And you know that here on Kauai there is a chorus of people supporting that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it for you having me on. Mahalo, and much love to everybody there on the island. We'll be thinking of you.
Okay, and I'm sure you'll be back. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah, okay. Many blessings. Take care.
Okay, so actually, when we're talking about inner peace, not to put you on the spot, Moses, but you're probably kind of a master on that one.
I think it's a really good place to start, you know. We're talking about world peace. Let me come up closer.
So we're going to bring you up a little closer to the mic here.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about inner peace, and I think that's a great way to start world peace. I mean, the first peace is to come within. And it takes work, you know. Every day, it's like having a garden. To find inner peace and to find who we are and to find our stronger being, it takes work. In your garden of being, you got to go out, you know, you got to promote the growth of the good things of your inner being, you know, and you got to pull the weeds, the negativity, the anger. And so it takes work, too. I mean, nothing's going to come without work. And I think the work within is where we start to find the work without, to find real healing within the community and the world.
So many of us have known and loved you since before you were born. I'm going to just throw out there that, you know, you're one of the babies of Taylor Camp. In Haena. But for people who aren't familiar with you, can you tell them any little piece about what caused you to come to your own pathway for having to find inner peace?
Yeah, I'm lucky to have really good roots, you know, coming from Taylor Camp. I came from a very loving and open society with a lot of really good hearts around me. And I lived a really good life. And sometimes, like we do in our modern society, I got led astray from sometimes the more pure way of who I was, and at times I was got involved with a little too much nightlife and partying and drinking. And about 13 years ago, after having a night out at the bar after work, I hit a tree coming home at work and was paralyzed from my third and fourth vertebrae down, so suffered a pretty bad spinal cord injury. Woke up in Oahu unable to breathe and on a ventilator and in a pretty bad spot. Luckily, my parents were strong and such loving, good people. They came there to help give me strength during my time of stress. And even though my main doctor said I would never breathe on my own again, through my parents' advocation and some really good respiratory therapists that took it upon themselves to a little more than was expected, I was able to breathe on my own again, which allowed me to go on to the rehab of the Pacific in Oahu, where I did some rehabilitation. And through one of the vocational programs there was an art program for all sorts of disabled patients, which introduced me to the art of mouth painting. And so after doing a little bit there, I started mouth painting, and I found a new road in life. And so through one tragedy, many more doors were open. You know, I always loved the idea of being an artist, and it's ironic that when one door shut, it gave me all this time to refocus my time, my love, on art. And through art, it gives me a lot of time to meditate and think, well, you know, having all that still time. And I've had a lot of time to think about what life is and how big it is. And because it's hard. And being in a wheelchair with a very limited mobility can be a very intensely stressful situation. But it's also the challenges set in front of us that can cause us to grow to be the strongest being we can be. So the challenges have kind of made me who I am.
And you're not only like an artist who draws, I mean, who does good work for recreation or for, you know, just expressing yourself. You're a successful artist.
Yeah, I'm getting some success, and it's become a great, you know, my art's also a podium where I can deliver messages to people going through anything from stress to just having a hard time in life or people with disabilities. So when I'm doing my art, it's awesome because it's become a place where I spread my love of life and the endless possibilities of strength of will can, you know, do for us with strength of will, we can overcome those insane things.
And Your parents and family have really been a big piece of creating the stability for you and the ability to get down and do that. I know and love your whole family, so I just have to throw that out there. And it's been kind of a win-win for all of you because your art is actually a big piece of what...
Oh, yeah. My mom, I mean, it's a huge part of our family become. Since my accident, my mom, who's the one who's really, you know, gotten behind the idea of promoting my art as a business, and she actually started the Mozart Art business, which helps sell and produce my art and spread it around. And
so Mozart is M-O-S-A-R-T dot...
Well, that's the name of the business, Mozart. My website, the Mozart website, which is about the art, my art, is www.mosesart.org. Unfortunately, Mozart wasn't available as a Earl, so we had to go with Moses Art.
Okay, Moses Art. But you actually are a pretty key provider for your entire family, is that correct?
I'm definitely part of the family business. It's, you know, mom manages it all and I get to paint. And,
okay, let me frame it this way. No pun intended. Your art is a big part of what is the stability of your family.
Oh, definitely. It's something that we kind of all become. It's a family business. We all, you know, my brothers are starting to become some of the stretchers of my art, and it's become our livelihood.
It's become your livelihood, and so I'm just going to get a little self-protective on you for a moment here. I know that, like, getting to and from Qingyang Village in Hanalei is a pretty critical part of Mozart, critical part of doing that. And your van is still running, or it's broken?
Oh, my van is running, but we had a little fiasco a few weeks ago where the van broke, and then as we towed my van home with my father's truck erupted in the flame, and we lost his truck to the fire. Mm-hmm. So luckily the van didn't suffer that, but we had one other day. We almost lost two vehicles, but the van is back on the road for the moment.
But barely, right?
Barely. Well, it leaks in the front. It has both the doors on my side. We use a bungee cord to keep them shut. It's going to the Hawaiian weather.
Yeah.
Especially the rest.
So what I see there's a GoFundMe account out there, is that there's an effort from the community to make sure you're back on the road safely and being able to get to where you need to go. And so what is that GoFundMe?
The GoFundMe on the GoFundMe website is Keeping Mo Mobiles, the one devoted
Keeping
to my...
Keeping Mo, as in Moses, Mobile.
Mobile, exactly.
So people could help you by donating to Keeping Mo Mobile.
Yeah, we're on the way.
They could probably also help you by buying more of your art.
Yeah, no, also some people who haven't used the computer much also have been doing, you know, donations to my mom.
In fact, through
other benches too.
This is what I do when we do fun drives for Kauai Community Radio, which is going to be coming up on my show. I like to set a pattern by making a donation. So, Moses, I so love you and what you do for the community, and I see what a huge difference that you make. You're always out there with a big smile on your face. I'm looking here for the biggest bill that might be in my wallet. I believe I have $100.
Oh, my.
And I'm going to give you $100 right now.
Thank you.
And because I, you know, you are an expression of what is amazing and capable in all of us. And so
I'm wondering, can the rest of us sitting in your studio participate that way?
You know what? You certainly can.
I'm honored.
I just
get a little flush in the cheeks.
Yeah, a little flush in the cheeks, but I'm going to give you $100 and because you matter, and I want to see that happen. Yeah. And you know, how we make it through everything is all of us working together.
That's so
speaking of cash, Felicia, we had a caller who said that if Mo will paint a painting of you in the studio, he will buy it at any price.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? That makes me want to cry.
I'd be honored to put it. Such a lovely woman.
It's somebody you know, Felicia, so you'll be able to thank them.
Okay. Well, gosh, that is huge. So thank you, caller, angel caller, and thank you, Sharon.
You know, this is such an opportunity. I think many of us sit waiting for opportunities like this. We don't always know ourselves what to do, and then boom, something will come into our and connect with us, like meeting you and knowing about your art. And this is beautiful, and I feel joy to be able to do this.
That's one of the things. When I first started this fundraiser, I was shy. It's hard to look at your pride and go out and ask for help. I saw a really cute cartoon, even expressing exactly how I felt. It was a guy hanging from a root on a cliff, and he's hanging with one hand, and the other hand, he has a bag that says pride, and he's got to let go of his bag of pride to reach up to the hand above to help him out.
Yeah,
I had to kind of go through that at first, too. And then I've been just so honored with so many people saying similar things that they were happy to help and actually helping me help them by being able to help.
Yeah.
And after this, I actually want to spread out the word, too. There's a young man in a wheelchair named Al-Kai, who I just found out is doing a fundraiser, which isn't doing too well. So after I'm finished with my fundraising, I'm devote my time during that time. It'll probably take me a few months before I'm done with mine, though, to helping him spread the word and get out there and spread some funds. I'm going to definitely give a bit to him. I'm looking to give at least a couple hundred when I make it to that period.
To me, this is about peace, what we're talking about right now. I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes to know that
love.
We can do this. Yeah, we're sharing.
Sharing love is one of the first connectors.
This is how it begins. If I may, I looked up something about Peace Pilgrim. You're aware of who Peace Pilgrim was.
I'm not.
Oh, my goodness. She was a woman who... From with a date, she walked the earth. She walked the country, and she went all the way from the coast to coast, from border to border. She even walked into Canada. Her goal was to go 25,000 miles, and she gave away everything. Her sister described her as having been a flapper. She was born in 1908.
Oh.
She died actually in a car accident. From someone that she had taken a ride with in 1981, but she walked all these miles. This was Mildred Lisette Norman Ryder from Egg Harbor City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
She became the first woman who walked the Appalachian Trail all in one season. She walked everywhere, and she walked with no belongings. She took a comb, a pencil, a toothbrush, and that was it. She didn't eat unless people offered her food. She didn't have shelter unless people offered to give her a place to sleep. And she did this to bring the awareness of peace in this world to the attention of the world. She was absolutely amazing. And what I found is that she's got 10 things that she said that are symptoms of inner peace.
Okay.
So if you want to hear a couple of them?
Sure.
Okay. One of them, a tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than acting on fears based on past experiences. So like our friend Mose, I guess instead of thinking what happened to you, you are going forward. You're living in the moment. You're going. You're going to the next thing. You're helping your friend. Because if you sat in the old stuff,
it's only one direction I see is for now and forward. You know.
Yeah.
I always say smile now because tomorrow's not insured. You got to love the moment while you have it. It can change the blink of an eye. The whole world can be a whole other world.
And I can guarantee that's a symptom of his inner peace.
And also, you know, it's the challenges in life that make us who us are. When we are sometimes set down with things, it can actually cause growth. And you know,
everything
it's not
has
easy.
A gift,
it
doesn't
can be
it?
It's uncomfortable to grow, but you know, there's always growth with even the most terrible of things.
There's a gift in everything, and
there
I think when we talk about peace, can only begin with us. It can't begin out there. It's we've got to start with us because that's the only thing we have any control over is us. Other things she says. An unmistaking ability to enjoy each moment. Do we have that? If so, you're working on some good inner peace. A loss of interest. Now, this is a big one for me. In judging other people.
Yes.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my gosh. Amen to that.
Is that the work?
That is.
That's the work, isn't it?
It is.
I'll give you one more, and then I'll let somebody else talk. A loss of interest in conflict.
Yes.
And so many of us are not happy unless we're fighting something.
You give people a sense of purpose, but out creating the problem is a better sense of purpose. And I think Moses, he humbles me with his ability to out-create this challenge. Marshall, is someone sharing something?
Yes, let's see. Moses, Malibu Dave is going to give you $100 next time he sees you.
All right, Malibu.
We have someone who does not have access to a computer and can't go to your GoFundMe site and wants to know, is there a mailing address or some other way to get some money to you?
That'd be great. There is another way. You can make out a check or money order, or just cash, but a check or money order, you would need to make out to my mother, who manages the funds. That would be Cherry Hamilton.
Spell it Cherry.
Cherry, C-8-E-R-R-Y, like the fruit, Hamilton, H-A-M-I-L-T-O-N. And send it to P.O. Box 410, Kilauea, Hawaii, 96754.
Wonderful. And I want to
thank you all.
Yeah, I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank Sharon. I want to thank anybody. Jeffrey?
And Moses, I'd like to say that the Interfaith Roundtable of Kauai would like to make a donation to you, and whatever donation they decide on, because it's a group decision, I will match that donation.
I'd love to say thank you so much. A community like ours, I read an article about how the Kauai community is one of the most giving, and I'm starting to see that in action right in my own life.
Yeah.
Helping others, it's so funny how just a little bit, $20 within any community, it adds up so quickly, because I mean, a lot of little donations like that, it's quickly turning into quite a pile of gold.
Right. And we've seen so many different places in our community where beautiful things happen, and when I'm looking at the amazing things you do, you're almost a quadriplegic. I can tell that you...
Oh, yeah. I'm actually a high-level quadriplegic. My third and fourth vertebrae were broken, so that's a pretty high-level
injury. So quadriplegic means hands and feet.
Yeah, no...
You don't have a lot of control over.
No real use of your hands. A paraplegic would be someone just the lower extremities, your legs, and below would be a paraplegic. So paras can a lot of time have really well use of their hands and stuff.
But even without the use of your hands, you're doing amazing things. And Jim Jung, you're a part of Kauai Ocean Recreational Experience. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm the vice president of the Kauai Lifeguard Association. And we'll have an exhibit at the Wellness Fair this Friday at the convention hall from 9 to 2.
And is the Kauai Lifeguard Association, are they part of CORE, Kauai Ocean Recreation Experience?
No, they're not. CORE is a separate organization that deals with people who have physical handicaps to get them back on the water to be happy and experience the joy of being in the water and on a surfboard.
Marshall, can you look up the phone number and the email for that? Because I have gone to that. It's like one Saturday a month. Moses, have you ever done that?
I have not done it yet, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to break away from the painting and get in the ocean one of these days, because I have an ocean child.
I have gone to it just a couple of times. I would like to be more involved. It's beautiful for everyone. Do you have something, Marshall? Do you find it?
No, I just wanted you to give me that information. Again.
Kauai Ocean Recreation Experience. Because, you know, I think the people who aren't physically challenged probably grow as much or more than the people who are in there. Last time, there was a few people who had recently returned from the wars, like with missing limbs. Another person had fallen on the train tracks and lost his legs and his arm. Youngish man. Did you meet him?
I met him, yes. I'm forgetting his name, but I met him with his sister, quite the young man. It started with a C or something, I think.
That's 808-651-6416. The website is korekauai.com.
K-O-R-E, Kauai, .com?
That's right.
Not .org, .com?
That's right.
Okay, and you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I've got the Interfaith Roundtable of Kauai here. Moses Hamilton is who we're speaking to right at the moment. And Janos is going to be coming up in a few moments. I want to say, I'm just going to give a little more pitch to that, and then we'll hear from our underwriters. Our underwriters are one of these important things that keep the Kauai Community Radio on the air, making changes in people's lives. Like, if Moses, if we get you on the road, yay, and thank you, Malibu Dave. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Interfaith Roundtable of Kauai, and whoever's going to paint that picture. Yes, 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 yes. I will do whatever I will do whatever is necessary to make sure that Moses and I can get in here together and have that picture painted. But CORE, when we're down there, there are great musicians, some of whom are dealing with disabilities, all kinds of people who are dealing with mental and physical challenges. And they're going surfing, and they're out there in the water, and they have all different kinds of ways of guiding them into the shore. It's a big food fest, and it is so uplifting. And I think that the people who have been blessed with full health probably come away with the most, because it is so humbling to know, you know, but for the grace of God go I. We are so lucky that we have all of these strengths with us. And when we see somebody like yourself, Moses, who can, against all odds, make a really big difference in a lot of people's lives, not just for your family, but the people who have those pictures on the walls. And I used to be right down in that area where you do your painting, had a business down there,
yeah.
And you are like a ministry to the people who come by.
Oh, no, all day, that's half the fun of being there, is spreading not my only, my art of love, my love of life, you know. Life is, no matter what the hardships will change in every moment. Is magic, you know. Every moment is part of what our existence is, and you gotta love them when you got them. Gotta, you know. It's like I'm always saying: smile today, tomorrow's not insured.
That's right.
Just another caller who will be matching that $100.
Wonderful.
I feel like I'm on the fun drive.
I know. Well, we have this fun drive. I hope we get this same flow. But
that's another symptom of inner peace: frequent attacks of smiling.
Yes.
I love that.
And you know,
it's
like,
it's infectious too.
For us, Marshall and I, in here on the show, where very often what, you know, I say we're like the complaint department for the island, like we deal with the challenges and the bummers. I try to keep that happiness to bummer ratio healthy, but this is kind of a happiness show. But I look forward to tomorrow. I feel really good. I am filled with joy because I see positive change happen all the time, and I see this giving spirit that is filled with our community.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about that giving spirit, I do want to honor our underwriters. Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Mokihana Pest Control.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Ha'ahe onui o Mokihana Pest Control, e kako o aku, e ka mālama ana I ka olelo māku e hine, a me nā mele o Hawaii. Eo KKCR.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Aloha, members of the Kekahu Foundation and KKCR. This October, the Kekahu Foundation Board of Directors, which oversees the management and operation of KKCR, will consider revisions to the foundation's bylaws, which have not been updated since 2001. The proposed revisions would give more power to the Kekahu Foundation members to participate in meetings, elect and remove directors, and make or reject future changes to the bylaws. The board welcomes your input. You can review and comment on the proposed revisions by going to the kkcr.org homepage, where you will find a link to the proposed changes and instructions on how to provide input, which is due by October 15th. Mahalo.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and I have to just throw in the shofar in honor of Rosh Hashanah that was yesterday. Happy New Year, happy Rosh Hashanah to everybody. The Jewish New Year started yesterday.
So, shalom.
Shalom.
Felicia, that is an amazing lay that Eric just brought in.
Oh, I know. My gosh. What is this? A beautiful lay of fern. Pardon me?
I'm pretty sure it's a palapalai lay.
It's wonderful. That's the type of fern it is?
Yes.
Yes. It's actually not that easy to grow, this one. At least not for me. I have a little bit of it in my yard. But,
yeah.
It's really nice. Yeah. So do you do hula?
I have studied with Kauai Kapo'o Kalani Hewitt, but my back protests too much, so I've stopped.
Well, wonderful. I'm very honored to have this on. So, Eric, thank you. Everybody, thank you.
Here's one more.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Symptom of the growth of inner peace, contented feelings of connectedness with others and with nature.
Yay.
When we acknowledge that we are one. And you were sitting there with that beautiful lay. You look like a tree or a bush. It looks beautiful on you. And you're connected with nature. And we connect with one another.
Well, thank you. Well, why don't you finish the list?
You want the list?
I want the list.
I didn't want to.
It's a great
okay.
list. And I think
it really
something
is.
For all of us to reflect on.
Here's another one. You know, these are things we don't... Working on ourselves, I would say, for me anyway, is the hardest thing I ever do. Trying to, you know, to fix the stuff that's going on in here. A loss of interest in interpreting the action of others. Oh, do we do that? And oh, does that cause... That's misinformation. It's like the Four Agreements, you know, taking
right.
everything personally and thinking somebody means something when they're meaning something entirely different. And
That's a challenge. And we said it was my birthday yesterday. One really nice thing about getting older is you kind of start to realize, hey, most of what's going on in the world is not about us. It's not about me. Is people have their own experiences that they're going through, and you just happen to be right in the way when sometimes somebody has a hard word to say.
And the only thing we can do is send them love. That's what we can do. We may not be able to go there and fix it, but we can send love.
I wanted to hit on that, too, because I was just the other day, I was having a similar situation of just interpreting the situation wrong. I walked by a man, and he looked very angry, a little dangerous. And I was, you know, kind of turned away at first in fear and kind of being too judgmental of what may be going on. And then I felt bad, and a moment later I looked back, and I gave him a big smile. And that face melted from a mug of terror to the biggest, sweetest smile. And sometimes we got to remember to reach out with love and not reaction.
Frequent attacks of smiling.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so good.
You know, react with love, not reaction. That's the best reaction you can have.
Here are a couple more. You probably know about this, too. I bet you do. A loss in the ability to worry.
Yeah, worries don't cure nothing, you know. It's just, it's like complaints. It's just a waste of time.
What you've conquered in your life would probably say, okay, if I can get through that, I can get through anything. No need to worry.
And every day, it's every day's work, too. It's, yeah. You know, every day, it's always a new day to go out, and it takes work. Nothing happens free of work.
And what I never have heard from you, which I really appreciate, is you're not down on yourself. You made a mistake, you can look at it, and you've grown from it. Yeah. And I know many times people, you know, the person they have the hardest time forgiving is themselves.
I think some of the hardest, not forgiving, but just dealing with, and even we forget to change the world. Sometimes we're always expecting everyone else to make the sacrifices, mm-hmm. and sometimes the real change is we got to make our own sacrifices.
It starts with
you know, not wanting a brand new car this year and not wanting the brand new things. We're so caught up in a world of things that we forget to focus just on the being and the moments, forget to stop and smell the roses. Don't always need new things to make us who we are.
You know, I feel like throwing one in here, too, is I think if everybody were doing that which is their passion, that which turns them their light on, we would not be walking around frowning and angry. We would be happy souls, and there would be no need for wars and competition and fighting and all that.
That's the idea of a utopian society, mm-hmm. where we weren't such caught up in the rat race, but had time to pursue what we really love ourselves. But unfortunately, in our capitalistic consumerism society, it's a constant rat race, and people, a lot of them don't have the time to pursue what really makes them happy because they're always pursuing survival. You know,
right.
And that's part of, I think, one of the problems with modern culture.
I've worked with helping kids become more empathetic, for having more empathy for others. And I think one of the things, I can't remember, in the conversation we were talking about volunteering, and you were saying when you do something nice for another person, you get as much out of that as the person does. But what they found is, you know, we always hear about the IQ, the intelligence quota, how smart you are. But there's also an EQ.
That's the emotional intelligence.
And the emotion, people with a higher emotional intelligence tend to be happier, mm-hmm. be more successful than people with a high IQ.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about EQ is that it is knowing how to self-soothe. Like we were talking about, if I wasn't always so uptight. I write an article for the paper. It's coming out tomorrow. I wrote it today. It was a Serge King dynamine technique, mm-hmm. and he said that when we get stressed or too tense, then everything starts to go, your back starts to ache, there's little pains, you get a little bit worried, you can actually get quite sick or have difficulty in resolving issues. And if you just would take the time out, when it just first starts happening, you were talking about you know, we always rush around thinking we have to accomplish this in this amount of time and everything. But you say, wait a minute, there's stress going on here. I need to take a break. And they've also found that people who take those breaks more than make up for the time with their renewed efficiency, their renewed alertness, their renewed ability to think more clearly than those people who just press on. I got to get her done. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing.
Yeah. The martyrs of the world.
Yeah. Joy underscores everything.
Felicia, we had a caller that wanted to harken back just for a minute to the topic of last week about Hanalei School. And he wanted to say that, he wanted to mention how devoted and dedicated those teachers are to the children and what a crucial role they played in what has happened with the principal being reassigned to another role. But he also wanted to make the point that KKCR is our community forum for having that kind of discussion and has a greatly positive impact on the community, and that your show in particular is a place for that sort of concern and issue and topic to be aired.
Well, I'm honored, and it's really truly an honor and a privilege to have this time to be in this studio where all these amazing people come in here and find their courage or find their passion and ability to share with the listeners that are out there. And not just listening on the radio, but streaming worldwide on kkcr.org. people from all over listen in?
And we do have a caller.
Okay, we'll take that call. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Mark Jeffers from
Hanapepe.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I wanted to tell you and everyone that we are also part of the International Day of Peace.
Oh,
we have an experience here on the day, which is September 21st, Monday. We have an international potluck.
Great.
Yeah, so we're all going to bring our food together and see if we can get along enjoying each other's food.
Wonderful. So tell us if people wanted to come to Storybook Theater, I'm assuming, if this is you. I mean, being this is you, Mark.
Well, actually, it's a group of us here in Hanapepe. My friend Jerry Hirata from the Soto Zen Temple and Michael Christensen from Hanapepe United Church of Christ and other churches, area churches, are the core of the group. But basically, on Monday at 5 o'clock, starting at 5, we'll spread out our international potluck. And then we have some speakers, our friend Nicole Sakurai from Happiness, Happy Science, and Pastor Michael Christensen from Hanapepe UCC, and Michael
Universal,
Kieran.
United Church of Christ?
Yeah, Hanapepe United Church of Christ. And Michael Kieran, who I believe is a monk from Honolulu, who will be coming over to speak with us, too. So we have some guest speakers and a little bit of open mic, and then we're all going to light candles and take our cranes, and we're going to walk through town about 7:30 or so, and we're going to go to Soto Zen Temple and hang our cranes of peace and our ho'okupu to the beautiful statue there of the goddess of compassion. She's the Japanese goddess, the big statue there next to the Zen temple. People always see it when they drive by as a way to aloha the international aspect of the Day of Peace.
So you also will be having the cranes, like what we heard Jim Jung speak about, that will be down there. So that you're pulling on the same story, because that's the Sadako.
Well, we don't have 1,000 cranes, but people can bring their cranes, and we are going to string them here while we're having our dinner, and then we'll carry them down and find creative ways to lay them at the statue, over the statue. It's just, it's such a colorful place. There's a beautiful Bodhi tree next to the statue, and it has a lot of spiritual aspect. And then we're going to ring the big peace bell there on the road that the Zen temple has, and it's going to be a very nice action-oriented, and I'm sure many great conversations will come up during the evening. And of course, you know, here at Sparky's Garden, we have a beautiful peace garden here dedicated to peace education.
So will the event, just so people know where it is, it's in Hanapepe Town at Storybook Theater in the Zen Garden, the Peace Garden behind the...
Yes, just the front door will be open, and we'll have signs there on the road, and people can come in. Very easy to find. It's right across from the Hawaiian Church on the old road in Hanapepe.
Okay, gosh, wonderful. So it sounds like people can celebrate peace in Kilauea at the Episcopal Church, Christ Memorial Episcopal Church, or at Lydgate Park from 3 to 5, or at the Storybook Theater in Hanapepe.
From 5 to 8, and we're on Monday.
Monday. Okay, so they could party hop. They could do it on Sunday, and they could do it on Monday.
Yeah, and excuse me. Hi, Mark. This is Jeffrey.
Hi. Jeffrey.
But I will mention, Felicia, that the Episcopal Church, that's a peace-building interfaith dialogue, two-hour workshop, on the following Saturday, the 26th.
Okay,
I had that wrong. Thank you. Say it one more time so we get it right.
It is on Saturday, the 26th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. There'll be opening prayer, interfaith dialogue about peace on this island, and also poo-poos, and all are invited.
Is that with Pastor Robin?
Yes. Pastor Robin Taylor.
And she does wonderful things with the food pantry right there, and the thrift store, Shared Blessings. So lots of efforts on a daily and weekly basis occur. So thank you so much, Mark.
Sure. I'm happy to. And then we welcome everyone who wants to come down and enjoy our evening of International Day of Peace.
Okay. And it's a really beautiful area right there.
All right. Aloha.
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 And we have, Jeffrey, and then I want to bring in our, we have another guest in the studio that hasn't come to the mic yet. That's Janos.
Okay.
But, Jeffrey, what would you like to say?
No, I was just going to say that I think a point that Moses brought up earlier about inner peace is so appropriate, because that's really where peace starts. It starts within our minds and with our hearts. And being aware, being awake to what we are bringing into our consciousness on a daily basis will really help to determine how much peace that we actually experience and that we embody in our lives. I was very, very impressed with the recent article in the paper called The Pledge of the Young High School Students, who are taking a vow to avoid violent movies and violent video games for 6 days from Tuesday, which is today, until through September 21st. They and thousands of other youngsters across the nation are abstaining from playing these violent video games, because they too understand that the information that we take in many times comes out in our behaviors, our thoughts, and our words. So I was sitting in the forest one day, and not long ago, and sitting in meditation, and I was contemplating peace. I was contemplating what we bring into our consciousness. And we're really made up of our thoughts. So if we think peaceful thoughts, we experience peace. If we think happy thoughts, we experience happiness. If we think grief thoughts, we experience grief. If we think loving thoughts, we experience love. Clean thoughts, we experience cleanliness. Future thoughts, we experience the future. Past thoughts, we experience the past. Present thoughts, we experience the present. No thoughts, we experience infinity.
Well, that's very beautiful for what you just shared. And I know as a mother, sometimes I really worry when people are playing video games constantly, the first-person shooters or whatever it is, that it isn't kind of inoculating people to accept violence. So my son says, Mom, this is virtual violence. When you were a kid, it was real violence. And that's true, because I grew up in a place where, you know, people had open carry guns. It was pretty normal. And they had a reason for doing it, because they rode cattle and all that. But in this country and in these islands, for the most part, we're all pretty blessed. And when we look at some of these things that we need to focus on also in the International Day of Peace, where we're looking at the whole globe, there is some violence that's beyond what we really can imagine. And we have another guest in the studio. I know that you call in, and I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right. Is it Janos?
They pronounce it here Janos Samu. But the original pronunciation in my native language is Janos Samu.
Janos Samu. And you are from Hungary?
Yes, originally from Hungary. And I have been living here on the island for 18 years. And I would like to greet everyone the same way as I greet on Hoike, Aloha Aina, Aloha Kako. The reason I'm here, I am very interested in peacemaking. It is wonderful to think about peace. It is wonderful to think about happiness. And it's wonderful to think about love. But we do have to make peace. We have to be active in making peace. I was involved, and I'm very much involved in studying this internationally. My main concern here in the United States, we have been living here since 1973. We came here as political refugees, and we were political prisoners with my wife. We married in the military prison in Hungary. We've been married for 49 years, and we have the adventure of the life of the refugees. I think a migrant is just a politically correct name for many of them.
that's being used now. When we hear about the migrants coming from Syria and Africa and the Mideast, they're calling them migrants, but you're saying political refugees.
They are not everybody. There are some economic refugees, too. And there is a lot of misinformation. And the reason I was late today, for example, I found in the car the telephone number of my Syrian translator. I'm a translator and a business manager. And I decided I'd call him. I called him in Syria to find out what do they think about this refugee situation and this exodus of Syrian people. And he explained it to me that, yes, they are escaping, but they are not escaping from Assad, the president of Syria. They are escaping of hopelessness because ISIS or ISIL occupies a region. They are not necessarily cruel. They occupy it, and there were some shootings. He didn't know anything about beheading. If they resist them, but they will employ the same people at the same place where they were working, except they will take over the ownership and the management of refineries, factories, and then a larger oases on farms. But as soon as the United States and allies learn about the ISIS being there, they come and they bomb the infrastructure so that they cannot make any...
Who's they? Who's they bombs the infrastructure?
The United States Air Force and their allies. They are bombing it so that ISIS does not have any profit and cannot survive. But at the same time, the Syrian people, the simple Syrian people who were employed there, they won't have any job, they won't have any more houses. So, and they don't see any other reason, they don't see any other way out than to leave the country. So that's why they are leaving Syria, and they are getting help and money from Bahrain to leave their country, and encouragement to leave them. It is a very interesting situation, and I never heard anything about this. However, I read the Syrian newspapers also online. There are some English-language Syrian newspapers. And I heard, I read similar situations, but not in that much detail. Well, I think this is about the current situation, about the current refugee situation. It is very difficult. I don't agree with what the Hungarians are doing, for example, blocking them from entering the country and going through the country to Austria and Germany. But again, my words don't mean much for the Hungarian government. I would like to come back in a few words to the peace movement in the United States. We had a strong peace movement in the United States up to the end of the Vietnam War. But after that, somehow it is dissolved. And the reason I see that those organizations who have some peace movement, I don't want to generalize that all of them, but there are many of them who do some kind of event just for a credit, which means they want to brag about doing something, but it is a poor organization, or they disperse the main idea. You know, when you have a peace demonstration, and in the peace demonstration you have five different signs, one might be for the peace, one might be for the farmers, one against the GMO, one for the gays, that is not concentrating on the subject, and people will lose faith in that organization. If they want to do something, they also have to pick the right location. Like, we had, I think, 2 days ago, a peace vigil at Russian Fort. I feel sorry for them. There were some people there, but it was the worst location. You have to have an event at a location where people can join, not off the road where nobody goes. If you go to the Thomas Cook James Cook statue
in Waimea,
people would be seeing you. They would be joining you. So it's absolutely important. And please observe a few more things when you are watching foreign television, when there are protests and demonstrations in other countries. A lot of young people are there. In the Arab Springs, most of them were young people. I watched it. I watched the demonstration in Okinawa today on the Japanese television. And again, more than 60% were young people who were demonstrating. Where are our young people? The people of my age come here to some of the peace events. You have to bring your children, because we are not doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it for them.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Right now we're listening to Janos Shamu. And so you have had the refugee experience from Hungary. I want to encourage you for a moment, because I have gone up to Mauna Kea, spent some days with them. I was in that march recently where there was 10,000 people. It is an effort of all the generations, but the leaders are young. And the kupuna, the seniors, are watching these young people. And it is a movement filled with love. And it isn't necessarily against science or the telescope. It's a movement of empowerment. And it is filled with love. And I want to bring you back to what you're speaking of here, that it really resonates with you even more than the rest of us. We can't know, because we were not, or at least I don't believe anybody in here was a refugee. Okay, no, I wasn't. A refugee from a difficult situation trying to come out. This, you really get it, what it feels like to be that. And so if I'm hearing you, you're saying, we need to have a crisp, sharp understanding of what is the political ramifications of our foreign policy in the United States. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I would like to say that it was kind of exception, the Mauna Kea protest. Those were most...
GMO was young.
They were young too?
Very young. It's the 25, 30-year-olds. It's mm-hmm. These people, and I'll hear, because in the show, we're in the middle of all this, is people of childbearing age who are the most rabid about wanting to protect their children. And I think that we can understand that. And then next to it's the grandmothers. And this has been, all of these have been pretty heavy on women. The Mauna Kea protectors, there's a lot of men, but you know, when they came in, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and yes. did the last arrest, 7 of the 8 were women in the middle of prayer.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And I would like to also mention that where is peace education in the schools? And I'm not in the education business, however, out of school and in my youth, and later on, I was always involved with young people. But I don't hear from peace education from our school in our school curriculums. And I can tell you one interesting example. I was part of the Peace and Social Action Group earlier, before we dissolved. We prepared and printed a poster. It said, "No wars, no lies. Choose a profession for peace." And I went to Waimea High School, to the counselor's office. That's where they sent me. We asked them if we can have this posted there. And they did not authorize it. I asked why. They said, the Board of Education would have to approve it, and they know they would not approve it. As I turned around, I saw two posters there, one for the National Guard, one from the Air Force. They were allowed, but we were not allowed to do it.
I will mention that there are a number, I believe, 4 counselors in the elementary school and Department of Education here on Kauai that are taking over the Aloha Peace Project, and that this is a peace initiative that has been going for, I believe, 15 years, or maybe half that. I'm not sure, but it's been going for quite some time. I spoke to Laura
Taylor. I spoke to Laura Taylor recently on the phone about the Aloha Peace Project, and it is a wonderful education for elementary school children to through expressive arts, through discussion about peace and embodying peace in the world.
Well, you know, this is Sharon speaking. Janosz, I really appreciated what you said about the peace movement in this country at the time of the Vietnam War. But that was also such a political football. I mean, I believe Martin Luther King Jr. was killed when he came out against the war. I think that's why he was assassinated, because there were too many people who did not want anyone fighting, you know, saying anything negative about the war in Vietnam. And I think that since that time, anytime you speak of peace, generally it's looked upon as being, well, you're for the other side that we're fighting. In other words, instead of saying, no, we're talking about peace, period, for everyone, because it's taken as being almost a traitorous thing to say. So I think that's what's happened to, you know, a full-blown with fire peace movement. People are always looking for the political undercurrent.
Yeah, it gets interpreted as being not supportive of the service members and then wanting to put them in harm's way.
Right.
Were you involved with the Martin Luther King movement, Sharon?
I was, but I actually lived in Atlanta, but not then. I lived in San Antonio and in Dallas, and I was involved. And when you asked about refugees, I remember when I taught school back in the early 60s and 70s, and I remember some of the things the kids were telling me. This was in Texas. And I thought to myself, these kids are under fire. These kids are being, because they were speaking out about, you know, the about Jim Crow and all of the things that were going on, that was the forefront of peace in those days, the front line. Anything that you would say would be taken as being, you are a communist or you are this, that you could not speak for what you knew to be right without being, labeled as something that was anti-American.
And you look like you have some African-American blood, is that correct?
I am African-American.
And so you're a grown woman, you're mixed. I mean, most African Americans, if you're
exactly.
American, you got a whole bunch of things,
right.
and it's challenging because it's not only the slave but the slave owner.
My forebears were slaves and slave owners. That's correct.
Yes, I can see the blend. Growing up, have you felt like it's gotten better, or I see all this stuff where there's a lot of African American lives are lost for seemingly next to nothing, walking while black, maybe people feel refugees within this country. Do you see an improvement?
I give thanks every day that I did not have male children, because if I were a mother of a black male, I think I would not allow them to go out the door. Because, you know, I used to hear that, and I did not understand the degree to which that was true, that black males their lives were on the line all the time, that they had to walk out the minute they walked out of their doors. And of course, this is about peace also. This is about peace. This whole thing, racial, you know, ethnicity, political, cultural, all of these issues that we have set up as being the barriers.
Yeah, the dividers.
Yes, that make us separate from one another. That is all anti-peace.
Yeah.
And yes, I have, there are some, it's hard to say if it's better. I mean, there's so many ways that it's better, but so many ways that it's almost so blatantly not better. It's almost like,
I gotta jump into it because
get a gun. I've
seen a lot of racism being born in reason why. I've suffered a lot of racism. I was picked on constantly for being a white child in school. And I got a lot of complaints and stuff.
I can island, right?
In the islands. But I've got to say, that seems like it's gotten better. But at the same time, across America, it seems like there's definitely been areas where there's been a repolarization, a redivision, especially in the South. I mean, what's going on right now with the gay marriage and the woman not allowing them to pass, you know, Ken Davis. It's just ridiculous.
Well,
it's almost prehistoric in the way that people are acting. And not only are they acting this way, but that no one within the, you know, politicians, no one's standing up strong saying, this is so backwards. This is so unmodern of us.
You know what I think, though, is happening? I have to say this. I believe this is all part of the shift that we are going to, that we are going through, to where we find truth and connection and oneness. I think this is what we have to go through. And I know lives are being lost and people are being hurt in so many ways, you know, on the issue of gender differences or whatever, you name it. I still believe that we are in a blessed time, even though it seems awful, because we are becoming aware.
And we have the internet where we're all communicating, and there's so many people with a sense of purpose. We have a caller that's on the air, and then I'll hear from Janosch again. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, aloha.
Aloha.
Hi. It's Michael and Carrie Fox.
Oh, hi, Michael and Carrie Fox. You're singing on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Lydgate Park.
Yeah, we just wanted to tell you guys we're so grateful for this opportunity, especially Jeffrey. Thank you for finding us and for helping us find this beautiful experience at the Peace Festival. We attended last year and it was spectacular, and it was really touching for us.
Aloha to both of you.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Yeah, so basically we just wanted to call in and say thank you and how just how much we are touched and just honored to be a part of this day. And, you know, that's just how we've always wanted to live our lives, just in peace and with and being able to just share with the youth, especially, too. We love working with the kids. So we're really excited to be a part of it, and we just wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for everything that you do.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to meeting you on Sunday.
Thank you. And a big shout-out, Moses. I just wanted to say hello to you, man. It's awesome to hear you on the radio, and I always love seeing you in Ching Village when I drop Carrie off at school. I always stop by when you're there, and you really bring a light to the community, and I'm just thankful that I know you. So thank you.
Hey, thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to be a light out there.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha, thank you.
You know what I think is going on with the peace movement now? We had recognized, identified so-called leaders at one time. There are no leaders per se now. I think everyone in this country and in around the world must be a peace pilgrim. We can't look for somebody to tell us how to do it. We've got to do it from. That's why I think that our group, the Interfaith Roundtable, is so important.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for the listeners out there and the many, many people who have come together that I have seen over the years that I've been doing this on Kauai Community Radio, that really are peace pilgrims.
Felicia, we had a caller who just wanted to mention that for them, the Cuban Missile Crisis was transformational, and that it moved them to be more concerned with peace.
And that's in the 60s that happened. It's almost before my memory, but Janosch, you probably remember it?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So, Janosch, am I saying it right?
Yes, okay. You are.
You, no doubt, have seen a difference from when you were a young man.
Yes.
Do you feel more hope for the future? Do you feel like things are getting better? I know that you're saying, hey, we need to turn the ship around even faster and more tightly. I'm hearing that. So what can you give a comparison to what it was like to be living in Hungary and what it is like to be here? I have had on other shows people comparing a lot of American, maybe not awareness of what's going on at the extension of our foreign policy, so that can seem like the nation is too easily sucked into the, what we would say comes out from mass media. But is it better here, or can you give us a comparison? We got one out of Sharon.
I will be happy to give you a comparison, because I have lived 28 years under socialism and communism, and I experienced the restrictions and the oppression there. And I have been living here since 1973 in the United States, out of those 18 in Hawaii. And I see oppression here too. So what I am saying that both systems have exploitation and oppression. The big difference is it is more hypocritical here, because they are saying it is for your protection, which is not true. I have been to Russia about 14 times, for example. I know the Russian people. I know they don't want war. They suffered enough. But they are still demonized, especially President Putin, that he wants war. No, I don't believe it. But the difference is what I have said. And just to come back, what was the triggering point in the Vietnam War to end this war? Because they were showing the coffins of the servicemen brought back, hundreds of them, and they reported the losses. And now, if you listen to those reports, they don't report casualties anymore. They don't tell you that those bombings are not that accurate, that they would hit only properly identified militants. They don't report to you that 8 weddings have been bombed already, or they were reported one by one. So this is the big difference. Yes, there are absolute positive things here too, and there are positive things there too. And I think a peacemaker or somebody who really wants to make peace, they would those would take out the good things from both systems and make a good combination of it. You don't want to say, oh, it must be Hungarian idea, it must be German idea, it must be American idea. Believe that they can also make something good. And then I finish it in a minute. What you mentioned about the peace pilgrim, I met that peace pilgrim with the Quakers in Philadelphia. And there are peace ambassadors, and you should know about peace ambassadors, and junior peace ambassadors from 16 to 30. I looked up the website. There are about 16 countries. All of them have, except the United States. And that's sad. And I can give you the website where you can live. And I think we should pay attention to make peace ambassadors here too, and join the international peace movement. That's my word.
Thank you. Jazz with John is coming up in about 10 minutes as we approach the top of the hour. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. We've got an amazing cast of community members in here. We're going to do kind of a long around the room. Oftentimes I give people 30 seconds to sum up their thoughts, but I want to give you guys each about a minute and a half to give a final thought of what's important to you. I was a teacher. Who wants to go first? Okay, Jim Jung, and I want to say he's the man who is responsible for this show. I talked to him at the fair, at the farm fair. And this was your idea. So,
hi, Felicia. Thank you. I'd like to share some Buddhist Dharma called the Amida's Golden Chain of Love. The Dharma is the teachings of Buddha. Amida is a Sanskrit word. Mita means to measure. And if you have a prefix of A, it means unmeasurable. So Amida is the name of the Buddha of infinite love, of compassion, and light and wisdom. It goes like this. Amida teaches us that we are all connected. As you mentioned, we were all connected. Each of us is a link in the golden chain of love. And each of us has a duty, a responsibility to keep our chain bright, shiny, and strong. It teaches us how to do this by having pure and beautiful thoughts, by doing pure and beautiful things. And if we do these things, we can bring about happiness for ourselves and for those around us. And if everybody in the world does these things, we can achieve world peace. Thank you for the opportunity for being here and sharing my mana'o.
Mahalo. Okay. Analia.
Yes, this is Analia.
Analia.
I just want people to try peace. You know, there was the old chant, give peace a chance. There are people who don't think that peace can happen. They just think that people have always fought and we've become habitual warriors. But that can change. That can change. And listening to each other, being Amida Buddha. By the way, everybody's going to have a chance to fill out their name and be part of a golden chain of love on Sunday. It's important to not give up on it. And I agree with you that peace should be taught in the schools. And I think wherever there is an ROTC program, there should be a mediation program. Just that's a Quaker movement, actually, that wherever there's a ROTC program, there should also be the counter so kids have a choice. So peace to all.
And ROTC means Recruiting Officer Training Corps. Sharon?
I just want to go back to Peace Pilgrim and the number 10. The symptom that you might be developing inner peace, the last one, is that you have an increased susceptibility to the love extended by others, as well as the uncontrollable urge to extend it yourself to others. I think she was simple and profoundly wonderful and truthful. And I think if we take these simple, simple things and look inside ourselves, awareness is everything. And if we become aware that these things that you go to Google Peace Pilgrim, you'll see all this stuff about her. But I think if we just go inside and work on ourselves, we'll get the ideas that will come that we can use to teach the masses. Thank you so much, Felicia.
Thank you, Peace Pilgrim, Sharon. Janos?
My closing thought would be that education of peace should not be only in school. It should begin in the family. Mm-hmm. Very important. And to tell your children that you are doing whatever you are doing for peace, you are doing it for them. And then get them involved, and then remember this. 500 people involving a lot of children under the in front of a military base just protesting is more valuable than 100,000 email signatures, because they don't know what you are going to do. You don't have to be threatening, but you have to show your presence. And it is not enough. It will not make peace immediately. But remember, the activity is absolutely important as opposed to the email.
Thank you. And Jeffrey, you work with hospice, and I think that maybe you might have learned to follow up on what he's talking about, peace in the family. Hospice is helping people at that time of passing. Do you have any thoughts relative to what you've observed in there and peace in the family?
Yes. Hospice is about helping a loved one to live with as high a quality of life for as long as they can, surrounded by family, in an atmosphere of peace, in an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of life. Reminiscing the life that they've been living, preparation for the next part of their journey, and for preparation for a peaceful passing. And that's something that we all want. As I mentioned earlier, peace starts from within. It starts in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And I'd like to leave you with one of my favorite prayers, the prayer of St. Francis.
Okay, thank you.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Thank you. Marshall?
Well, to begin with, I haven't even passed on all of the wishes for happy birthday for you, Felicia. The community in general wishes you a big happy birthday, and that lay is amazing.
Thank you.
Speaking of St. Francis, you know, Pope Francis just endorsed the Iran nuclear disarmament deal, and it reminds me that politics matters. Politics matters a whole lot, you know. I mean, imagine that if we didn't have Barack Obama in office, we would not have that deal. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize very early in his presidency, and I think that he has ended up earning it. But it matters a whole lot who we have in office and who we elect, so I think that bears keeping in mind.
Thank you so much. And Moses, I'm giving you the last word, and before I even give you the last word, I'm giving our donors who called in my big heartfelt mahalo, especially the one who's commissioned the painting. Maybe you will be in a fresh van soon, getting around, inspiring others. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Kauai, the community that's out there from Kauai Community Radio. You give us purpose when we see this kind of outpouring of heart. Moses.
On the line. I just got to give my biggest mahalo to you all, and I'll be honored to be able to do a painting of such a beautiful lady with so much heart. I look forward to that. And the last thing I want to say about peace is all of us to find your own moment of peace in the day. Stop the rat race, step aside from it all, sit down, and just be at peace. Have a moment of silence, a moment of reflection, a moment of your own time, away from all the chaos the world can have around us. Don't remember to find your own inner peace every day, and at least one moment a day. Aloha and live well.
Aloha. So this has been Kauai Soapbox on KKCR. This is Felicia. Jazz with John is up next. Okay, Marshall?
Felicia, real quick. You know, right away we had a caller who disagreed with me on the Iran deal. So, of course, debate is healthy, too, and we know
right.
There's all sides of every issue.
Right. Everybody, I was smiling when you were saying that because I was thinking, oh, wow, he just hit the pinata, you know, we'll
right,
see
right,
which...
the conflict button.
The conflict button, that was an interesting point at the end of the show, but I know you were speaking it with love, so I reflect that back in with love, and I just know what it is to sit in the hot seat, and I thank you, Marshall, for doing such a professional job
yeah,
of receiving
being brave,
calls.
Being and, brave and standing up for what you believe.
And being brave, so, yeah.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so now here's the county council report, and we have to appreciate them who are doing what they can to make Kauai a better place. Listen up, show up if you can. Aloha.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of September 16th. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. The county engineer and the county CIP manager transmit for council consideration proposed amendments relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year 2015-2016, revising the amounts estimated in the highway fund to appropriate funds to provide the required 20% county match for the Puhi Road construction project. And this is in the amount of $268,000. And this is also proposed draft bills number 25, 97, and 98, and they're under bills for the first reading. The housing director requests council approval to acquire leasehold property in LALA and resale it, and that's to a participant in the affordable housing program on the wait list whose household income does not exceed 120% of the Kauai median household income, and authorize the county clerk to sign legal documents related to the acquisition and resale transactions. Under committee reports, the Budget and Finance Committee has approved two bills. They are 25, 93, and 94, and they relate to the county's operating budget for the current fiscal year. The bills revise amounts in the general fund for the collective bargaining agreement and budget provisos. These bills are also under bills for the second reading. Council Vice Chair Kagawa requests the Director of Finance and the Housing Director discuss the county's long-term affordable rental tax limit, included but not limited to discussion of the following: overview of the Department of Housing and Urban Development's median household income and affordable rental rates, how affordable rental rates and median household income are calculated, the potential impact to the county should the current tax limit be increased from 80% to 100%, and all other related information in the long-term affordable tax rental tax limit. This item was received for the record. Finally, the motion to approve bill number 2595 failed. This is for the KPD legal analyst in the amount of $124,165. There will be a non-public executive session. Purposes for the county council to have a session with a county attorney pertaining to the hiring of a county auditor and to consult with the county's legal counsel. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on Resolution 2015-57, supporting economic justice for Hawaii's working families, living wage, paid sick leave, and family and medical leave, and the right to organize. And also bill number 2596 for an ordinance to amend the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the Solid Waste Fund and General Fund, and that's the Kauai Police Department abandoned derelict vehicle coordinator position for $140,122. To view meetings or meeting archives, please visit www.kauai.gov/webcast meetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And you are...